Hi, welcome to Backstage Soundtrack. I'm Tom from Hot Tub Time Machine. This episode features the great Tom Thumb. Tom is one of the best beatboxers in the world, who's achieved a huge amount in his career, including the most viewed TEDx talk ever, called Beatbox Brilliance. It has over 60 million views. I recommend you check it out. We chatted in late 2018, just before he joined me on stage at the Enmore Theatre in Sydney. I hope you dig it.
Are your parents musical at all?
No, that's a lie. My mum, like, tinkers on the piano.
Okay.
And I think she used to like guitar and stuff, but my grandfather was head chorister of King's Choir down here in Sydney.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So did you do choir stuff when you were a kid? No, I didn't. Just drank Goonan Parks. That's what, scribbled on trains. That's what I did when I was a kid. No, there was, it was very much after high school that I got into music.
So when you were young, there was no inkling that you would make a living from like...
No way, man. Nah, just like, it was either like... running through creeks and setting shit on fire and then just running through train lines and trying not to set myself on fire. So it was kind
right.
of just like, and then it was well and truly after high school that I started getting interested in music.
Was there any, were there still songs that you liked or music that you liked when you were running around or?
When I was in high school, I was breakdancing a lot. So I used to listen to a lot of like old school electro and B-boy tracks, like the big jams that they'd play at training.
Okay.
But
so which songs are those?
Oh, you
is
know,
that like
just like
rock, Bambaataa, and that
yeah,
kind of thing,
so or? Similar kind of vibe. There was like heaps of stuff like Debbie Deb. Look at weekend cause here I come. Because weekends were like the old school electro Weekends by Debbie Deb.
That's like really kind of mid-80s stuff, is it? Like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
Where
like
still really
classic.
Like Kraftwerk kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah, that, and also like Miami bass stuff and just, and also the big like Jimmy Custer bunch.
Okay.
Just Begun. It's Just Begun. It's Just Begun. Like those big kind of typical B-boy jams.
Do
so it was a big spread.
Do you remember a time when you weren't into hip-hop?
I was four.
Or you just like always into
it? No, man. Like in 99, it was like the first day. Actually, you know what? I think so. My older cousin was into graffiti. Mm-hmm. And that was like my first foray into the hip hop scene. But I had no idea it was the hip hop scene at that time. My tag was like Weasel. And then after that, it was... Get Ahead. I saw that on a packet of Ovaltini's. So I was like, Get Ahead. That's a cool tag.
Right.
So that was like in 96.
Was it a pun intentional there on like Get Ahead or Get Ahead?
No, no. It's just like, I was like a shit little kid.
Okay.
You know, I was like just scribbling on handball courts and stuff, like Little Grommet. But it was in like 99 where I started becoming more conscious of the graffiti scene, like actually like reading stuff and trying to big up my style and still I was just a little young kid, but that's when I started idolizing people in the scene. So that's when I became sort of more aware of it. Up until then, I was just a total nerd, like total nature nerd. Like
nature nerd?
Yeah, like not an ounce of edge in my body at all.
Being the, like, because I've seen like the last few years, I've seen that, you know, sometimes you go canoeing in beautiful locations. Is that what you mean by nature nerd? Yeah. Like out in the...
Well, more like, just knowing the... precise taxonomy of small Australian invertebrates, kind of nature nerd. Like,
wow.
Yeah, like proper, like I obsess over a lot of things.
Yeah, right on. Oh, that's my bottle making that weird sound.
Yeah, I was like,
that's rad, isn't it? I think.
Sam. Oh, that's
weird.
My bottle.
This is the kombucha. It's the fermenting tea. We're having organic drinks. That's amazing. So give me some facts on like, you know, what's a cane toad? Like what's the... You know, well, do you have any?
Yeah, I mean, Bufo marinus is the scientific name.
Shut up.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a introduced from Brazil.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that's cool. That's really interesting.
Obscure nature facts is like my... Basically, if I can, by the time I'm like 40, 45, if I can wrap my two loves into one thing, just like I'm just going to be doing nature documentaries. I love film. I like nature.
Yeah. Who's that guy who does Edinburgh who like raps the like philosophy and things like that? The Canadian dude?
I'm not sure.
He does like the...
Bubba Brinkman? Is that it? Yeah. The weak and the strong, Darwin got it going on.
Creationism is dead wrong. The view which most naturalists entertain, namely that each species has been independently created, is erroneous.
Okay, yeah, like that, but with like more animal noises.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm actually starting working. This is my like B plan.
Mm-hmm.
Just if I ever just get sick of doing music, I've already started writing a, I might have told you about it already, an animated series called Don't Feed the Wildlife, which basically focuses on Australian native animals and their character flaws. So I've got like a sugar glider that's a cocaine addict.
Okay.
I've got a kookaburra that's a manic depressant. Like the protagonist of the show is a koala that figures out his potential for leadership after he gives up indoctrined gum leaf use. So he's just like, yeah, it's pretty weird.
Sick.
It's going to be dark.
Great.
But yeah, I've already started drawing up all the frames and
animating
little bits. Yeah.
That's really cool. I like the depressed koala, kookaburra thing.
Yeah. They're all focused on the actual traits of the animals, but then spun into this kind of dark little web that I've got.
Is it fair to say that when you get into something, you really get into
something? Oh man, I'd proper dig in.
Yeah.
Like after we finish this, I'll show you some of the drawings that I've done for it. It's
sick.
It's all pretty strange.
And so it was drawing that got you into hip hop. Was that because of the graffiti?
I've always been into drawing. Like always, like since I can remember. And also it kind of tied me into, in one way, like I remember like in year two or something, I was drawing a spaceship kind of like space scene and making the sounds of all the like the spaceships and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember that specifically because my teacher was like, Tom, shut up.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, that was the first time, but a very kind of like precursor. Yeah, yeah. Just like.
Totally.
Yeah, being a hyperactive little shit.
That's
so
awesome.
It was good.
And so when did you discover beatboxing?
Good question. Okay. I know the precise, well, I don't know the precise date, but I know the exact moment.
Mm-hmm.
It was the day where I learned to do continuous windmills, which is like a b-boy kind of move where you're like, basically you just keep spinning.
Is that always spinning your head or is it like?
No, that's a head spin.
Okay, yeah. It's a technical term for
yeah.
it. Okay. Yeah.
No,
so the windmills where you turn, where you pump water up from like a lower.
Yeah, space. Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's a very Dutch kind of move.
Yeah.
No, it's it's just like a continuous motion.
Okay.
Sort of, it's going to be very hard to explain.
That's
it
okay.
over. Yeah, just think legs flying.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Is that where you have like the legs out of an angle and they kind of like?
Yeah. Except you're not on your hands. You're kind of spinning on your body. So
yes.
When you're on your hands, it's flares. But when you're on your body like this,
mm-hmm.
That's windmills. And it was the day that I learned to do them. I was walking back from the Indooroopilly Shopping Centre, which is like a place at in Brizzy.
Main streets of Brisbane.
Yeah, and I was walking back to my mate's place to do some b-boy training. And he said, he was like, oh, you know, show us your windmills. So we went down to the Lifeline bin. There was a big fridge box there. And we pulled out this huge fridge box, like laid it on the grass next to the soccer fields.
Man.
He's like, yo, man, I'll kick the beatbox for you. I was like, the what? And he did this like fully old school, like fat boys, like kind of old school beatbox.
Sure.
And man, my tiny mind just went, that's what it's called. And then, yeah, from there, it's just been nonstop.
Right. It was like, I've been making these noises for my spaceships and now turns out this is an art
yeah,
form.
Yeah, I was like, you can do things that aren't spaceships? Drums? That's fresh. And man, like he showed me like Fat Boys, Dougie Fresh. Keep on and you can't resist. Chill, Will Barraby. Can't forget about me. Together, we're going to do it like this. Come on. Just like old school tapes with like really old school precursor to beatboxing stuff. And it just blew my mind. And then after that, and then Razel's Make the Music album came out.
Is he the guy that was in The Roots?
He was in The Roots.
Right.
And so there was another beatboxer in there as well, Scratch,
right,
who was also like really influential.
Mm-hmm.
Sick beatboxer.
So what,
too.
If I was to dig up some of those, so Razel had an album.
Yeah.
Like, are there any particular tracks off that you
well,
remember?
Well, I mean, If Your Mother Only Knew was like the classic. Okay. When that came out, every single beatboxer under the sun was trying to do it. And then there was like Kenny Muhammad, who was another sick beatboxer, was on that album as well, and they did this Four Elements thing. It's a must that I it's a must that I it's a must. The wind technique, that was like the first time that I'd ever heard a beatboxer take the foreground,
okay,
as opposed to just being like in the corner with someone rapping over it.
Yeah.
It was like really quite, I wouldn't say like super technical, but very showy. Like
yeah, right.
It could stand on its own two feet, huh, and it was really dope. So like anything on that make 2001 album, I think it was 2001, but Razel.
Okay, Razel.
Yeah.
Right on. Has beatboxing like evolved? It seems to me that there was a time, I remember I saw Killer Keller,
mm-hmm,
like years ago. And it blew everyone's mind that he could do like a melody at the same time as he was doing a beat kind of thing. He did like Ain't No Sunshine or something.
Yeah.
He was doing a drum and bass beat or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like, you know, it's like, I remember watching motocross. I used to mix motocross TV shows. Like when the first guy did a backflip, everyone was like, holy shit, I didn't even think he could do that. Yeah. Now it's like, that's just a trick that people do. Is beatboxing a bit like that?
100%, man. Like nowadays I'm watching dudes do stuff which is blowing my mind, and yeah, like I have an intimate knowledge of how everything already works, and when I see someone doing something like it's incredible, you know what I mean? So much, it's so far advanced that it might not even register to someone that isn't aware of it, you know what I mean? Like constantly evolving. And guys like Razel and then Keller, they all set benchmarks that people aspired to. So it just keeps rising, man. It's right crazy. Up. And it's branching out a lot more too. You know, there's like loop station battles, there's team battles, there's duo battles, there's, you know, solo battles. It's not just like one guy, one mic on stage. People are doing cool shit with semantics and like cymatics. Cymatics, I think, is the word.
What's that?
The study of like sound. Good question.
Ah.
I'm not going to say what I think it is, but basically it's the relation. It's a physics thing.
Okay.
Where like studying the movement of sound waves, I believe. Yeah. So like, you know, where you see a speaker vibrate and
yeah,
like,
you get like phase things and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that.
Or like if you've got sand on a speaker and you see like,
oh, it makes shapes.
Yeah. Like that kind of stuff. So there are people doing stuff like that. There's a guy doing stuff with artificial intelligence, like, people are really like leveling up. Like I feel like we're just, you know, the human voice is, even though it's been like the most ancient instrument ever, it's only now within the last, you know, two decades really ramping up. Like the people singing polyphonic chords and
yeah,
you know, just like amazing stuff that you wouldn't even think was possible.
Totally. It seemed to me that you kind of chose to take quite a musical like branch of beatboxing and stuff and go into like, yeah, do you think that's a reasonable
thing? For sure, man. I wouldn't consider myself a technical beatboxer at all. What really really gets me off is just composition, like the way that the natural EQ of certain sounds, how they all lie together. So I really just love producing tracks.
Okay.
Like if I could just sit in my room and make videos of tracks that I've made and just get paid for it, I'd be stoked. Like being on stage, I get huge like performance anxiety, but right, at home, you just put it out into the world and then you don't read the comments. You know what I mean? Like it's just like, it's bliss.
Totally.
But on stage, you're like watching everyone and going, oh, that person looks bored. How do I like, you know?
Well, battles coming from that scene must have been intense. Like, do you have any stories of battles that you did like early on? Did you get into that scene at all?
Yeah, so I mean in 2005 I went in my first kind of major battle, which was the first world champs.
How old were you?
I think it was like 19 or 20 or something. Okay. Like that. So like ages now, but
there's clips of that on the internet, aren't there? Great battle.
Back then I was really hungry and I did want to be the best.
I did see that. I found the clips of it. It might have been you at Scribble Jam or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And when you were doing the scratching thing and then like some dude came on after you and was like, we're fuck off or something.
So Scribble Jam was the second international, the year after. And that was like, I think there's a clip of me spinning on my head and beatboxing from that actual battle. Right. It's terrible. I was so drunk.
Right.
Like, yeah. Worst idea. I got off the plane. I was like, the first thing I'm going to do, because it was my first trip to America as well.
And so how old were you? Sorry, you were like...
I was 21
okay,
then.
Right. Okay, cool, cool, cool.
I must have been because I bought booze. So,
yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, the first thing I wanted to do was buy a 40. Like, I was like, I'm in America.
Yeah.
I love rap music. I'm buying a 40.
I've just got like in my mind, I've got like G-Funk playing. It's just like,
yeah, and I remember there wasn't a fridge in the hotel, so I just sat them on top of the air conditioner.
Oh, man.
And I was so nervous. I was like, man, I just got to get drunk.
Right on.
Yeah.
How'd you go?
Yeah, good. Came second, so I was stoked.
So you're like second in the world in like beatboxing.
Well, yeah, for Scribble Jam. Yeah, the dude that beat me was actually doing like Razel routines.
Right.
It was kind of weird, like because there wasn't any beatboxers that were actually judging.
Right.
So, but it was dope, man. And Scribble Jam was like, wow.
It's kind of a scene that doesn't exist anymore, but it was the thing, wasn't it?
Man, for sure, yeah. Like,
people would come together in all the disciplines of hip-hop, from scratching, freestyle MCing,
yeah,
beatboxing.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, I was painting over there. I was like hanging around with other B-boys. There was like all these underground MCs that I just like had tapes and CDs and like...
Do you remember any music that like particularly represents that time to you?
Oh, like, man, like dudes like... I remember people were handing out demos left, right, and center.
I bet.
So it was just like I came back from that trip with so many like tapes. Like there was like heaps of Lewis Logic stuff.
I'm the lush president of the wino section. Since you find no lessons in this lonely life, just like
shorty, let me tell you about my own advice.
Reef the Lost Cause.
Sound of Philadelphia, gunshots and pretty beats. Come along with me. Hear my city speak, it's talking to you.
Copyright maybe as well.
To infinity and beyond the sun's what I see past. And one more bar and I'm done like a relax. But I feel like
okay, this turntablist crew called Deck Demons.
While I'm doing it. The crowd is booing you.
Super underground
stuff. Yeah, MERS. Yeah, like really underground stuff.
When you left school, like, did... Was there any other options, or you knew that you wanted to be like some kind of hip hop grommet, or you didn't know what the hell you wanted to
be? Yeah, I was a hip hop grommet, man. I remember the day before my first day of university, me and a whole bunch of other dudes drove all the way down to Grafton to do a whole car on the XPT train. Like on the end.
It was a whole car, like graffitiing the whole car.
The whole train, yeah. So like my mate was like, oh, I know this spot, like a dude that's like really well known now. And we drove all the way down to Grafton because I heard there was like this layup there.
It's like a siding or something where the train is.
Yeah, and it was so red hot, man. Like it was the worst. And we got this epic chase. And I remember we were running through like scrap yards, getting chased by dogs. I got electrocuted because I jumped like an electric fence. And then I ended up in the Grafton River with like water up to my neck. And hiding under a bridge, and then like just got back in time, like sunlight the next day, covered in mud. Then I went to my first lecture, and it just so happened to be like a crime and justice lecture. And it was just sitting in this room, sketching on the back of my textbooks in a room full of like budding cops and lawyers. I was just like, man, this is not the place for me.
What were you studying?
So initially I wanted to study film and telly.
Okay.
Which my portfolio is accepted, but my OP wasn't good enough. So I had to go and do other degrees to make up for it. And as part of these other degrees.
OP like a score in Queensland.
Yeah. And so I ended up doing like psychology, crime and justice, human behavior, like all this shit that I just wasn't interested in. But
did you feel like you had to go to uni? Or?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, okay. My parents were very like steeped in academia. So
yeah, mine were pretty keen that I went to uni too.
So,
man, I'm still stuck on that story. That's amazing. So did you actually paint the train, or did you just
I got down to my like outline. I was doing my shines, and then
shines.
Yeah, so like just some highlights on the letters.
Okay.
And I remember a security car came up, and we ran behind this thing and hid, and. Someone, it was probably me, but someone left the milk crates out that we had standing so we could get up to the top of the train.
Mm.
And it was just like stood out like dog's balls. And then everyone was like, oh, we should probably bail. And then for some stupid reason, we decided to stay there, and then just became like a hotbed. Yeah.
Far out.
But that's, you know, that's a long way back in the past. That was a different Tom. That Tom from back then would probably bash the Tom from now.
Man, I'd love to see some photos of what you look like back then. Mate. You're a fairly clean-cut kind of guy these days.
Bro, it's total grommet, total lad.
Did you finish uni?
No. Hell no.
Hell no.
No. I was there. Like, it only took me to realize that I wouldn't get in trouble for not going. I just wouldn't pass. So I just like went, man, I don't want to do this.
Sure.
And the irony of it is...
Did you make a semester or did you
do it? No, I did like almost 2 years or something like that. Okay.
You gave it a good go then.
Yeah, no, and I did quite well, but I was just really good at lying. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like I did proper study. It was just like came in on the next day and was really good at eloquently bullshitting. So... and it just wasn't the place for me at that time. I'd love to go back to uni now and properly study film. But the irony of it is, even though I didn't go to uni to study film, I'm going back to uni to work with students,
lecturing there now.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny. It's
that must be satisfying.
Yeah, in a way, full circle. But there's still a lot that I'd like to learn, and I'd feel like sometimes my brain just needs a little bit of fodder.
Yes.
Well,
you need something to obsess on. The next thing to like dig your intellectual teeth into.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you going to gigs and stuff? Like, were you ever a part of that kind of live hip hop scene?
Oh, yeah. Man, like every 3 times a week. Whenever there was an open mic, whenever there was anything, I would be there for sure.
And you'd be beatboxing?
Beatboxing, MCing, like spinning on my head. Like,
okay. So like what were some of those Brisbane hip hop acts?
Yeah, I mean the first time I guess that I heard like an Australian artist doing hip hop, I feel like it was probably like Resin Dogs.
Okay.
With Lazy Grey rapping. And I was like,
what was their songs? I can't remember.
It was probably Refizzler. London Styler, down under, amazing, speaking tighter, get down, run, red blazing. The song that I'm thinking of is like, my mom hates it. Everything I do is smoke related. I can't make beats if my mind ain't sedated. This Bris Vegas, what a city, what a lady. And I was like, fuck, he said my city, man. Like, he sounds like me. Then up until then it had been like really old school B-boy stuff. And then I heard this dude rapping in an Australian accent and just talking about like stuff around Brisbane. Like,
you were sold.
Yeah. I was like, man, this is my jam. And then holding a guy like that in such high regard. And then you go to an open mic on a Friday and he's just there.
Yeah.
You know, it's blowing my little kind of teenage mind.
Seemed like that. Hip hop scene still kind of is, but particularly maybe earlier, it was just like it was a real community of people.
Man, yeah, like 20 people that would religiously go to gigs and ciphers, and you'd like literally know everyone. No, of course not, mate. No, such a macho energy.
Totally.
Yeah, no girls. Nope.
I'm interested in the move from like being a hip hopper to writing kind of songs. And being a songwriter and working with a songwriter and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember like those first steps that you made into doing that?
Man, it just took a different form. Mm-hmm. Like it was just still the same ideas and the same sentiments I wanted to kind of get out there. I just realized that it wasn't for me pretending like, you know, trying to be an edgy kind of street guy.
Did you used to like write verses, like MC verses and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, man, all the time. I wrote bars for days, son.
Yeah,
man, that was like my jam. I put out like 3 albums as an MC.
A little shout out to all the Brisbane suburbs. I guess you could say it's kind of like a love song, dedication. If you're not from Brizzy, then you probably won't understand what's going on in the song. So plug your GPS, get your Rapidex out. What up, baby? If anyone could mount glorious, you can count me. I'm not keen on Sean Cliff, but Anna Lee can mount me. I'd love to rock Lee, a chick fiends for more. And I know the shit's clean because I've been Lee before.
So you already had been writing songs, but it was kind of more hip-hop based.
Yeah. And I found it way more, it might work the other way as well, but in order to express the same thing but with such fewer words, I found it really difficult.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like with a rap verse, I used to like, getting as many different rhyming syllables and plosives and, you know, like really getting, like I wanted to be an MC. I wanted to be an MC's MC, you know what I mean? Like,
totally.
So for me, stripping out the bits that didn't matter and finding the crux of what I wanted to say was really challenging.
I bet.
And it was only kind of linking up with Jay and then just going like, oh, that's how he does it. This is how I do it. Like, maybe I can find a common ground, like take some of what he's talking about and
totally, you know,
wrap it into my own stuff. And I think I'd still always consider myself a hip hopper at heart because it was like, you know, my petri dish. That was
yes,
where I kind of spawned from. That was yes, where my spores rested.
I'm just imagining little grommet Tom in a petri dish.
Burner. Except it was petri train yard instead of a petri dish. Man,
totally. Well, let's talk about some of the Jamie McDowell and Tom Thumb music because I love it. I've been like a fan since I first heard you guys.
He's a little more of water, a little bit of blood, a little bit of reason, a little bit of luck, just a little bit of fever and a little bit of love.
Do you have any like favorite songs from those guys that you still love doing?
Man, I like a lot of it because I don't have to think that much. You know what I mean? I can just be up there and enjoy being in the moment on stage. Like,
I've always found it fascinating that someone who, because as you're saying, you used to like add as many syllables and with your beatboxing, you're trying as many different techniques and stuff like that, and you're capable of doing so much. But in that situation, you're like just trying to be really musical and minimal and be a drummer and stuff.
Yeah, well, before that, I was just a showcase beatboxer, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And learning to play with other musicians has been crucial in my kind of musical journey because up until then, you know, I'd change tempos like so often and just my timing was shit. Like my pitch was terrible. Like it's just been really baptism by fire in terms of a learning technique. So
right on.
Yeah, it was really good, man. And the stuff with Jay, there's... Well, the more we introduce technology, the more I have to think about, which kind of removes me from the moment a little bit.
Mm.
But the stuff that I really love is just being a drummer because I just get to enjoy the gig.
Wash your face, use some soap, make your bed and fold your clothes, clean your plate and chew your food. Don't talk back and don't be rude. Take your shoes off at the door. Don't track no mud along my floor. Don't forget to take the garbage out. Don't want no excuses anymore. Well, call your sister, cut the grass. Think you're smart, not so fast. Fingers off the remote control, cause mama's watching now. Do the dishes, feed the dog, we'll put out the cat and praise the Lord. Oh, would it hurt you to go to church every once in a while? Just get going with what my mama say.
It's just me doing what I love doing, like what's already, it's already in there, the muscle memory's there. I can just have fun.
Hello, my name is Tom Thumb, and das ist Jamie McDowell. Und wir sind Jamie McDowell und Tom Thumb. Und schlagt uns hier ist der Hammer.
It's really nice to just be a human that's enjoying music at that point.
It's so rad how you get to do that, man. Like how you be, like have those different roles in music. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Be an accompanist, be a soloist, be a be a showcase, be a background.
Yeah, exactly, man. And I like 600,000% enjoy playing with people more than I do enjoy performing solo.
Yeah, I'm just starting to learn like how good it is to have musicians around.
Yeah,
it's taken me.
Man, it just like
makes me really happy.
You know? Yeah, yeah, and also like, you know, stuff with Jay, because we've got jokes for days. Like we spend so long like sitting in a tour bus, even back in the Tom Thumb crew days.
Yeah,
that like the banter's just A class. So totally. Even if the gig is shit, like even if it's just like, you know, we're playing to the deaf blind society in buttfuck nowhere, we can still just have a great time because we're just
totally,
the comedy is in the moment. So it's just really fun.
Nice one.
Yeah.
Did you do many other like shit jobs and stuff?
No, it's always been music, man. I was just POV for ages and I was just lucky that I had the luxury of not being kicked out of my parents' house.
Sick.
Yeah, so...
Totally.
No, I just didn't have any money for a long time. Just a lot of goon sacks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of goon sacks and Lowe's track pants for a long time. So it was just kind of... yeah, working up to it, man, and just taking gig after gig where I could and just making ends meet in that way. But
did your parents ever like tell you go back to uni?
Oh, man, like all the time. Up until I started playing.
Must be hard not to worry as a
parent. Until I started playing with when I sold out the concert hall at QPAC with the symphony orchestra, that's when they kind of went, all right, we'll give them a... And now I've bought a house off like music, so I'm stoked. So,
man, that's so awesome.
Yeah, so it was like up until then, still my mum's like says stuff to my mate Butcher said to me the other day. He's like, oh man, every time your mum gets drunk, she like says, oh, Tom could have done something like you. And then he says to her like, oh man, I wish I could do what Tom does. So totally. I think it's just a generational thing as well. I think back then it was like a bit more ingrained that, you know, you can have your dreams, you can have your hobbies, but you know, you got to work to make a living.
And I think that's like that support that you had though from your parents. That was so important. Like I think so many artists do that, you know, just stay with their parents for a while and just fucking work out their art and stuff, and eventually they get it together.
Yeah, exactly, man. And I'm pretty happy with, like, I'm definitely not a wants and needy kind of dude. Like, I can just exist.
Yeah, totally. So when did you discover that Tom Thumb plus a camera plus the internet went pretty well together?
I guess.
Remember the first thing you did that kind of went viral?
Well, the biggest thing was the TED Talk.
The TED Talk,
for sure.
Yeah.
I've come here today to come clean about what I do for money. I use my mouth in strange ways in exchange for cash.
What do you remember about that TED day? Was it at the Opera House?
Yeah, it was at the Opera House.
Sydney Opera House.
Yeah, and
because it's like it's an amazing thing, and it's like you look quite nervous at the start, but by the end, you know.
Well, I'd already played the Opera House twice before that.
With Tom Tom Crew?
Like I'd been playing stages like that a lot. Mm. So it was just such a different kind of audience. That was why I was nervous. It wasn't so much that I was like, oh my God, it's my first time on stage. It was like, what are these people going to think? They're like all like...
Because TEDx is like you have someone talking about philosophy for 10 minutes, can't you? Or self-help thing, and then you came out in beatbox.
Yeah, well, and I was like... what are these people going to think? Like, you know, I've just watched this guy talk about like being a sniper. These people are talking about like world changing ideas. And I'm just going to go out there and go, Hey guys, here's my voice. You know, I was really nervous. And then my mate, Omar Musa, he did a poem as well, like a little bit before. And I was sitting up there in the stands kind of watching him do his thing, and he absolutely crushed it, like kicked it in the dick. It was sick.
So let it play, that's something, let it play. Weave your stories into shining nets, drag them behind zigzagging decks, zooped up cars, trains and trams through streets and sunsets, trawl for the things you thought you'd lost, because you, me, us, we are more than statistics, we are more than misfits, we are more than your dreams are unrealistic. This is the paint that drips from every brick, the spirit that soothes the weary limb. This is the new scripture of our lives, spelled skyscraper high in capital letters, bold.
People loved it. I was like, okay, we're good. We're fine. This is going to be fine.
Yeah.
And it was great, man. It was like a really sort of certainly a career defining moment, but also like a artistically validating a moment. You know, because I'd already been doing so much up until that point with just not as much return.
Mm.
So for me, I was like, okay, verified, you know, like I'm in the right spot. I've made the right choice. This is good.
Yeah.
This is cool. So it was it was humbling. It was really
totally
nice.
Must have been a funny feeling when like it got uploaded and then like it caught fire.
Yeah. Well, it was totally unexpected.
Imagine
like,
they're putting it up. All right. Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And like the gig on the day was still like the vibe was sick, man. Like it was proper standing ovation, like, and I was like, oh, this is great. But with Tom Tom Crew, we got that all the time because sure. it was such a huge specky show.
But it's just like you being you. It's yeah, yeah. Thing, man.
And it was nice because I had no idea what I was going to do as well. Like, I made up all the routines, like, on the morning, just going like, oh, maybe I could talk about that. Because I think at the last minute they, like, extended the time.
On the morning.
Yeah, well, I was just kind of running over things and going like, oh,
well, imagine give that you, a try. Did you just like put together a bunch of existing routines that you had already?
Yeah, so like it was like a patchwork of ideas and I was like, oh, maybe I can put that bit next to that bit and then I'll turn that into this. And yeah, it was just the vibe, man. And like got out there and it was fine.
Totally.
And that was like at a pretty intense kind of period of my life as well. So like I was totally sober at that time.
Right. That's right. You had health problems.
Yeah. So at the end of 2012, I had like a couple of heart attacks and I was like totally sober, totally like clear headed. Like, oh my God, I got to focus. Like I got to reassess everything. Like
I'd forgotten all about that.
Yeah.
Cause I remember the first year we got quite smashed and I was like, oh, and then the second, yeah, then. And then there's one night you let your hair down. I had some wine.
Man, that was like that was the night that I got back on the wagon. There we are.
Time machine in my fridge. Yeah. When I broke my knee.
Yeah.
I was on crutches and shit.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, that whole like Edinburgh run, I was so like strung out. I was like, man, I thought that like getting off the booze was gonna like give me clarity. I was just like, just a ball of nervous energy. I was like, no, I need to just like,
it's very intense for sure.
Yeah, so yeah, that last night at Edinburgh,
man, it's like it's a hell of a thing to go through like a near-death experience or something when you're
yeah out. And Jamie was there too. It was terrifying.
What happened,
man? I was literally like, and like to totally go on the record, I like never fuck with drugs ever, like okay. It's just like what I do. So no one actually believed I was having a heart attack, first of all. The second thing is that no one actually believes that it wasn't because I wasn't just racking up lines
right
the night before or something like that. But I was just lying in bed after a not particularly hectic night, like had a couple of beers the night before, and just started getting this like intense pain like right in my sternum. And within like 5 minutes, I was just curled in a ball screaming, and Jamie had like gone out, but he'd forgotten his keys.
So where were you? You're in a Berlin. Hotel in Berlin.
Yeah, yeah.
Far out, miles from home too.
Yeah, exactly, man. And Jamie had like forgotten his keys and come back in. I was like, dude, you gotta call the ambulance. Jesus. Yeah, it was intense, man. And we were trying to like read that. We didn't know what the emergency number. He was calling up emergency fish tank repairs.
Oh,
shit, like emergency dental. I was like,
God, yeah. What is it? I assume it's 999 or something. It's like, who knows?
It was like, oh, random. God. Yeah, I don't
something
know what
I should
it
probably
is.
Keep track of when you're in a foreign country. What the
I
hell
think
the
it's 111, I think, but I'm not sure. I should know that now.
And so they got to a German hospital and stuff.
Yeah, I got to a German hospital and they operated, found like a massive blockage in my LAD artery and put a stent in there. So now I've got like a piece of metal in my heart. And and I was only 27 as well. So they were like, okay,
and
there's
so
no
all
way.
Happened in Germany. They had did surgery.
Yeah,
and stuff
yeah, on. Man. Like, see these tiny little dots on my wrist there? That's where they put the metal stent through. So I had to be like totally awake.
What's a stent?
It's a metal coil that they put in your artery to widen the channel of blood.
So they put it in your wrist
yeah.
to go to
so
your heart.
All through, right up through my wrist here.
Yeah.
Like all the way up. Into my heart, and when Jesus. They inflated the stent to like open it up, it was like I was having another heart attack because it totally.
Fuck.
So the whole time I was conscious, had to like move my body around to let them get this tiny little coil.
Now you're putting
in
things
there.
Down your cameras down your throat for
yeah, lols. Glutton for punishment.
Far out, man.
But yeah, it was pretty intense. But I often forget about that as well. Like I. Yeah, there's not many like reminders of that period. There's except for the medication that I have to have every day. But
oh, right on.
Like that trauma of that time just seems so like distant.
I bet. I bet it all like all that all trauma does fade and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it was pretty intense. Like it was like
definitely. You seem like kind of. I remember you were sober and stuff, and you're also kind of you're always quite shy and stuff, but it's even more so you're just kind of like hanging in the background a bit.
Yeah, I think it was really like, that's like, you know, that kind of thing really triggers anxiety. Like, before then,
then you just kept traveling and touring and stuff.
Well, that's all I knew.
Sure.
Like, the day I got out of hospital, we did a gig. Like,
shut up.
Yeah.
In Berlin.
Yeah, I was there, like, bruises all up my arm from all the, where they put in the anticoagulants and.
Far out, man.
It's just like,
did your folks come over or anything? Or
my dad flew over. Yeah, and had to like, yeah, go like back on the plane with oxygen and
man.
Yeah, it was mental.
But you did the show.
Yeah, I did the show. So I had to get my mind off it. Like I've just been sitting in a ward in Germany with like a bunch of old men like that couldn't speak English watching like, I was going crazy, man.
Yeah, I went to hospital. I crashed a motorbike in Italy when I was like 21 and just being in Italian hospital for like a day was terrifying to me. It was just like panic attacks just from the sheer.
Yeah. And the worst thing about a panic attack is it feels like a heart attack. So
yeah,
like without the extreme pain, but all the other things like the clammy hands, like
I really feel it in my chest. That's where I feel like my panic and stuff.
Yeah. And so after that, I started getting mental panic attacks that I thought were heart attacks.
Oh,
so I'd take myself to the hospital every time. And they'd be like, no, you're fine. I'd be like, that's what the doctor said before I had a heart attack.
Jesus.
So, because I had one in Singapore as well, and I went straight back to Australia. I was like, look.
So that was before the big one?
Yeah, before the big one. Yeah, I was doing a gig in Singapore.
So was it like a degenerative thing that had been happening for a while or something? Or
No, it was totally random, man. Like, I was like, oh, what's that feeling? That's not good. I've got to go and lie down.
Mm.
Said to one of the guys, I was like, man, if I'm not out at the sound check, can you come and check on me? Like, I was like, this is pretty intense. So as soon as I got back to Australia, I went and saw my GP. I was like, look, I know my family's got history with heart problems.
Mm.
This happened. I want to get it checked out. And he's like, no, you're fine. You know, everything's fine. And even after I had my big one in Germany, all my vitals were normal. Everything was fine, except they checked there's a serum that your heart releases when it's been through trauma called troponin. And there was just massive levels of that in my blood. So they're like, shit, I was about to go and get drunk. Mm. I was like, Saturday night in Berlin, I was like, man, I want to go and party with my mates.
Yeah.
Like, why am I in this hospital? They're telling me I'm fine. They're like, oh, we should probably just wait for your bloods before we let you go.
Right.
And yeah, they did. And then it was just like, boom. Like within 20 minutes, I had like vials of morphine in me. And I was just like.
That's when they decided to do the surgery. Jesus, man. Well, that's the name of an album though, Troponin.
Yeah.
Good name.
Well, that's what our Jamie McDowell and Tom Thumb album is, Airways and Arteries. That's based off our two fatal flaws. Jamie's got severe asthma.
I live for the artistry. There's an open mind and heart in me. My music's as much a part of me as my airways and arteries.
Yeah, and the cover.
Man, I like knowing that.
Yeah, yeah. And the cover of that is our respective medication. So he's got his asthma puffer and I've got my nitrolingual spray, which dilates my arteries.
And so you'd have that every day?
Yeah, it's in my pocket right now. I don't have that every day. That's like, that's
extreme situation.
Yeah, that's the emergency one.
Huh. All right, man. Well, we're almost done here.
Yeah, no stress.
Thank you for this.
it took a bit of a turn, didn't
it? That's good. No, I like Jesus. It, man. It's good shit. I really appreciate it. So what's your plans? You're building a studio now, which seems to have taken over your life. What do you want to do with it?
I don't know.
Because it's the multimedia Tom Thumb, like kind of art, constantly evolving art experiment at the moment.
So, I mean, I've rigged it up exactly to suit my needs. So I've got like backlights, like all like the lighting. Yeah, like it's looking over the river out into the bush. Like I've got it sussed, man. Like it's going to be either really productive or really distracting. I'm just going to become a bird watcher.
Right on.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. Like I want to do more stuff with the orchestra. We're working on a lot of stuff there. Finishing an album with the symphony orchestra. Finishing an album with Jamie. I've got a couple of EPs that are just sort of sitting in the vaults.
Mm-hmm.
Doing my animation thing. I just did another TED Talk a couple of weeks ago, which will be dropping soon, which will be pretty interesting.
Yeah, putting cameras down your throat.
Yeah, exactly. Down my nose.
Oh, my God.
So yeah, man, like there's a lot of different things. I took kind of like half a year off to finish the studio. Mm-hmm. I was only going to take 4 weeks off to finish the studio, but it turns out that builder's estimates are very much estimates. And yeah. It just took a lot longer. So I've got a lot of catching up to do.
Seems like you've reached a point where you have enough kind of pay gigs coming in and you can kind of do what you want with your creative time.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, definitely. It's a blessing to be able to pick and choose what gigs I play. First half of the year was like a bit rough because I've really felt the impact on me creatively.
Right.
Like I'd finished a day of building baffles or like, you know, like building bass traps and just want to sit inside and like watch something dumb on television.
Yeah, you don't want to be in the space that you've been working in.
Yeah, exactly. And I just can't be in there because it'd be open windows and mosquitoes and carpet pythons.
All right, man. Well, like the last thing I like to ask is what are your top 5 songs of all time?
Oh, man.
I know. And everyone hates it, but I secretly love how much they hate it. I'll go give you my top 5 and I make it up. I'm going to go all hip hop because we're talking about hip hop.
Okay, yeah.
I'll go number 5. Well, DJ Shadow, that's hip hop.
Yeah.
My top 5. Organ Donut, I love. Number 4, I'll go for The Roots, The Seed 2.0.
Yeah, that's a banger, classic.
Number 3, I'll go for Hypnotize.
Mm-hmm.
B.I.G. Biggie, 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 uh-huh. Can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just to get by, Talib
Kweli. Yeah. Get by, just get by, just get by, just get by. We commute the computer, spirits stay mute while your ego spread rumors. What a tune.
Oh, so good. I think that was one of the...
Man, this is those... Heaps of those songs were like the defining of my early kind of... Like, especially like... DJ Shadow, Organ Donor. That was like one of the first tracks I b-boyed to.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the like you and Sam doing like the Big Day Out and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Supporting DJ Shadow and shit.
Yeah, man. Like that dude's a legend for sure.
We can do this another time. We can talk about that. And number one, I'll go for actually, do you remember the song This Way by like, is it Kanye? On the Stairs? Oh, yeah, Kanye produced it.
Oh.
With, how to say, back on my line, this time I'm back on my grind.
Isn't it a Dilated Peoples?
There you go, thank
you. Yeah. Yeah, to the. My favorite girl wanna leave me just because I got a girlfriend. My freak girl told me now she a Christian. Yeah, it's a banger. For
all right,
sure.
Top thumb. Top 5.
Okay, top 5 it's of all serious. Time. Man.
Number 5.
Okay, Dude, such a on the spot. Okay, Gwen McRae. Oh, man. All this love that I'm giving my love. I think that's Gwen McRae. All this love that I'm giving my love. All this
love that I'm giving, yeah. Why do you love that song?
It's just such a beautiful song.
Right on.
It's just a banger. It was also one of the things that I like remember really fondly about my b-boying times.
Okay. Number
4. Sampology, I love this one. I'd have to say Twilight 22, Siberian Nights.
Ooh.
It's like an old school electro jam.
Oh, great.
There was a mashup of Twilight 22 and someone else, maybe Nucleus or, but yeah, it was the Siberian Nights Ultimix. That was a banger.
All right, done. I'll dig it up.
Yeah.
Number 3.
Okay, number 3. Probably Marquee by OC and Marco Polo. Yes. Everybody needs to free. Hold your hands up high. Get lost in the moment. Trapped in the moment. Lost in the moment. Yes. It's off a Marco Polo production album called Port Authority. That was banger. What are we up to? Number 3.
Number 3. Now you got number 2.
Number 2. All time.
Very
man.
Serious. all time right now.
Jesus.
In the brothel district.
Yeah, the brothel district. Man, there was like one song by Mantra, an MC from Melbourne, and Jeremedy, Volume.
To the volume, we put it up to put it on you. It's all a part of the sound that we belong to. We raise it up as a way to conduct energy collectively. So any dial you touch better be the volume.
That's when I hit him with the volume. It's just a banger. I mean, there's so many. It's so hard to wrap it into five.
I know.
But I used to have all these songs in a mixtape, and I was like, that was my like proper ones at the time.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, I live in lists.
Yeah. No, okay. Number one.
Like you and like probably you back in your battle days. You know, always ready to
whip out. Okay. And number one.
A lot of people go for a left field number one. You know, or they might have. You know.
Okay. Yeah. A left field number one.
But, you know, it's your number one.
A song that I was, like, really digging for a while was that the Sting song that Nas sampled.
I'm looking at my phone.
Say the spades are the swords of a soldier.
Oh, your voice, man.
Oh, what is it?
Did you ever, like, listen to that Feel the Love song that I was thinking of you singing?
Nah, I didn't, man, to be honest.
It's so good for your voice.
I probably have to give it a rip though. There's only a couple of things.
Shape my heart.
Yeah, that's a bit of a left field one, but it's just such a
that's good. That's
really
fine.
Nice song.
Alright. Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
No worries. Thanks, Tom. Classic.
That's it. Thanks for listening to Backstage Soundtrack. There are plenty more episodes available for you to check out right now. I hope you enjoy them. If you want to get in touch, I'm Hot Tub Time Machine on all the social medias, and I'll see you next time. Bye.